Some of you may recall back in 1989, there was a deadly earthquake in Armenia. And in less than 4 minutes, over 30,000 people were dead. The moment the quake stopped, a terrified young father rushed to the local elementary school to search for his little son. But where the school had been, it had now been reduced to a pile of rubble. Standing there in numb disbelief, the father remembered the promise he'd made long ago to his son, "No matter what, I'll always be there for you." So with tears in his eyes and terror in his heart, he ran to the spot where the boy's classroom had stood and began digging through the rubble. Around him on every side, there were grieving parents, weeping and crying out. After a while, some of his friends came and tried to pull him away, saying, "It's too late, they're all dead. Go home." But he labored on for about 8 hours, and then 12, and then 24, and then 36 hours. In the 38th hour, as he pulled back one more boulder, he heard his son's voice. He screamed the boy's name, "Arman." The voice answered, "Dad, it's me, Dad." Then the boy added those priceless words, "I told the other kids not to worry, Dad. I told them that if you were alive, you'd save me and them too, because you promised, no matter what, I'll always be there for you." The father worked now more feverishly than ever, clearing the way for his son and his classmates. "Come out, my son," he said. But Arman replied, "No, Dad, you can let the other kids come out first, because I know you'll get me. No matter what, remember, you'll always be there for me." True story. Now we believe that God is always there for us. He said so. And there's one thing that God cannot do. He cannot lie or play around with his words. So when he said to the apostles on that resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, 2,000 years ago, "I am with you always and to the end of the ages, I'm always with you," we reaffirm today that God is always with us and always for us, not against us. It's amazing, you go back to what Adam and Eve did in messing up this whole human nature of ours. And God could have, I suppose, theoretically, condemned them and just deleted them and said, "Let's just start all over. It's a total mess." But he doesn't do that. See, God doesn't condemn. We're told in John's gospel today that God does not condemn the world. He doesn't condemn or destroy what he creates, because what he creates is good, intelligible, purposeful, with meaning, out of love. So he's not going to destroy mankind. He doesn't destroy it. No, he will seek to redeem it, transform it, make it better. And he's going to do that perfectly through a God-man, Jesus Christ, on a cross. This incredible line from John's gospel, you see it so many times at baseball games and football stadiums where people roll out this sheet that says, "God so loved the world that he sent his only son." Amazing that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole, which is the sign of the medical profession for healing, for those who looked at the serpent on the pole were healed, we're told in the Old Testament. So that becomes the foretaste and promise of Jesus lifted up on a pole. No longer a serpent, now God-man. That those who look upon this cross will then remember and re-experience that love, that incredible, immeasurable gift of divine love. Which is why as Catholics, we don't take the body off the cross. It's a crucifix. We keep that body on the cross as a constant reminder to us and to the world how much love God has. Look at his arms. I would get tired holding my arms out that long for all mankind, for all religions, all philosophies, all races, religions, time present, time past, time future, for the living, for the dead. An amazing act of divine mercy, forgiveness, and the desire to redeem, not destroy. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So he's always there and will always be there, just as his father was for his little boy. Even when everyone else says, oh no, God doesn't care. God doesn't really hear our prayers. I saw a man the other day with a t-shirt, God is dope. And I thought about that. How sad. How sad. To reassure young people today in our culture that, no, there is a God who speaks the truth, not a politician. No, there's no confusion. We make it confusing, but God is not confused. Who says, I love you, and I'm going to prove it. I love that when couples get together for marriage preparation, and I always say, you know, what do you want from him? Oh, I just want his love. I said, no, what do you really want? Well, I want a lot of stuff. I said, will you ever be satisfied? No, because I'm always want more. That's right, you'll always want more. If he's going to do the same thing for her 25 years in marriage that he did on the first date, it's not going to work. It's got to be more. It's always more. That's the natural desire. I want more, Lord. I always want more. So what more do you want than the love of God? You've got it. There never will be another act of love as perfect as that. No other religion has ever proclaimed a God who did it that way. Most gods get even with their people, their tribes, their nations. They are vengeful, wrathful, and they condemn and destroy. This God doesn't do it that way. It's unique. He dies out of love for you. He is always there. What more do you want? What more do you need? What a blessing it is to be a Catholic, to really look upon the cross of Jesus and now, spiritually, once again, not just remember the past, but to represent that past now, in time, spiritually, with all the effects, right now, for you, for me, and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Notice what our Lord does, and reflect on those words at the time of the consecration. This is the blood of the new and what? Eternal covenant. It's not just one time. This is not just a one-off. My body and blood of the new and eternal covenant. See, the covenants of the Old Testament came and went. Now this is confirmed eternally in Jesus Christ, which means that mankind cannot do anything to take away the covenant, the love, the marriage, if you will, between God and his creation. Oh, we mess it up. We call that sin. But God never stops hunting for us, seeking us out. Oh, we can do a lot of things and say, I don't believe in God, I don't want that God, or maybe I ignore God. No, he says, I'm always there for you. I'm always there for you. When you need me, I am there. Even when you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. Even in your pain, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you do not pray. You've forgotten me many times, but I have never forgotten you and can never forget you. Do you see how much love I have for you? Look at me on the cross. I did that out of love for you. Do you remember? I am your peace. I am the law that you can live by. I don't lie. I don't play around with my words. I am the love that you can cling to. I am one with you. Dear friend, I am there, always for you. Dad, you can let the other kids come out first because I know you'll always get me. No matter what, I always remembered what you said to me, that you'll always be there for me. Just remember who we are, his children, whom he always saves, despite all the odds, despite our own sins, despite our own weakness, our low self-esteem, our sense of being unworthy. God says, I will dig you out of that rubble. Just trust, because I'm always there for you.